Time now for sports news. Now Warwick Hadfield is here. It feels like summer, Warwick, to be talking to you. Also, summer. Because we're talking about cricket.
Yeah.
David Peaver finally bowed to the inevitable yesterday. Stood down as chair of Cricket Australia.
Hamish, yesterday morning, and I know you tweet a lot, so I followed your example. I asked on Twitter, David Peaver and the presidents of the six state associations, the only people in Australia who believe he should be in the top cricket job at Cricket Australia, discuss. Well, discuss people did, particularly at Cricket New South Wales, where the chair, John Knox, had become greatly peeved, you might say, at Peaver's behaviour, which involved keeping the reviews from the state leaders last week until he was re-elected, and then his less than spectacular performances since then, not the least with Lee Sales on the 7:30 report, when David Peaver attempted to turn a calamity into a hiccup. So a week after the crazy decision to re-elect him, and with the words of John Knox ringing in his hitherto cloth ears, Peaver stood down yesterday after, for 4 days, reducing the game, if it was at all possible, to a worse place in the court of public opinion than it was when the reviews were first published last Monday. As the research for a replacement looks around, there are plenty who don't think it's a good idea to put former Test captain Mark Taylor in the job, because he just didn't sit moot under under Peaver's leadership, but during the disastrous pay dispute last year supported him, leaving the distinct impression about Mark Taylor that he's a sort of a bloke who runs with the foxes and hunts with the hounds. And that's a bit of a setback for him, I would think, given that he was one of the better people when he was captain of Australia. Whoever the replacement is, the clean out in Jolimont Street, East Melbourne, shouldn't stop yet. The new chair should also send packing those who threaten journalists with losing their accreditation, or former players with never working in this town again, or preparing dirt sheets on those who are even mildly critical of Cricket Australia. And the most important change is to remind everyone that this is, and this is something that should echo through more than just cricket, if you're listening in Australian Rules Football, they are administering a game, not a corporation. And if you want to work for a corporation, the door in is also the door out, Hamish.
It may be that the bloodletting is not over, perhaps. Some tennis news this morning. Ashley Barty produced her best game in the WTA Elite Tournament in China yesterday. Today, though, a bit of a waiting game.
Yeah, look, it is, Hamish. She was back to her best. She's coming back from an injury layoff because of a crooked shoulder. She beat Caroline Garcia in straight sets, breaking her early in both. But because she lost her first game in this round-robin series to Aryna Sabalenka, she has to hope now that Garcia wins her match with a Belarusian today, and the percentages fall the right way for Barty to go through to the semi-final.
The football this morning, Warwick. Sam Kerr back, Melbourne Victory women up, and Daniel Azani down. There is lots going on this morning.
News from all over the globe, and that's why they call it the World Game. And speaking of that, and Samantha Kerr, that's a reminder. There is a World Cup next year, and part of the Matildas preparation for that, two friendlies this month against Chile, for which Kerr, Alana Kennedy, Katrina Gorry and Emily Van Egmond are back from sabbaticals. Now, the coach, Alan Stajic, wanted to give them a bit of a rest while he broadened the depth of talent available to him ahead of the World Cup, which is in France. And having achieved that to his satisfaction, he's narrowing things down again. In the W League last night, Melbourne Victory beat Newcastle 2-1. And out of Scotland, this deflating news about the next big thing, Daniel Azani making his debut for Celtic. He lasted 20 minutes before departing on a stretcher. We refuse steadfastly to turn that noun into a verb. And he now awaits the results of scans on his knee as people in two hemispheres hold their breath. It may or may not be an ACL, Hamish.
All right. In basketball, Perth dulled the Flames of Sydney in the WNBL last night.
Look, Hamish, for those attached to the Sydney Flames, which might include the person for whom you're sitting in this morning, more disappointment. They've yet to win a game this season while Perth is flying, and not just across the Nullarbor for last night's game. 4 from 5 now, the score 78-62. And in the Men's National League, the Bullets outshot Adelaide 108-98. And, of course, both competitions continue over the weekend, Hamish.
And thoroughbred racing. It's Derby Day at Flemington tomorrow, with some dreaming big, the others thinking big.
Thinking big. You've got to drop the G there, Hamish.
Oh, I've got to get it right.
You're at the racetrack now. Look, it might be the same people doing both. Gay Waterhouse, one of the trainers of the favourite for the race for three-year-olds, Thinking Big, says the colt just might be set for the Melbourne Cup should he win tomorrow. As always, there are plenty to upset those ambitions, not the least the owner of the most ubiquitous trilby in racing, David Hayes, who has three starters, two of whom are more than half a chance, the Flyer Sikorsky and Mickey Blue Eyes. And Hamish, I'm really looking forward to your chat with Bob Brownarms Merriman, the former chair of Cricket Australia, at 8:30. You might even ask him why his nickname at my cricket club is Brownarms.
I might store that for the very end of the interview, I suspect. Warwick Hadfield, thank you very much.
Good on you, Fred. Good on you, Hamish.
You can call
have
me
a good weekend, as Maxie Walker would say.
You can call me whatever you want. Have a good one too. It is 24 minutes to 8.